Honesty is so important in relationships. In fact, when a child has been dishonest, it hurts us as parents. It grieves our hearts. We can feel hopeless. What do I do? That's because we know that honesty is foundational to relationships.
Honesty is one of those areas of the conscience. That's why we created this session. There are some very important things children must learn about this whole area of their lives. Many kids don't understand these things, and it's no wonder they have a problem with honesty.
But it's not just kids who don't understand. Watch what happens as we start this session with a lie detector test.
One of the parts of the conscience has to do with honesty. We want to start this session about honesty by giving you a lie detector test. Now, everybody's going to have to vote. In fact, let me see your hands. Everybody put their hands up. I want to see all that. Good. Everybody has a hand. That's great. Now, you have to vote here. Everybody has to vote. You have four choices. The first choice is, yes, it's a lie. The second choice is, no, it's not a lie. The third choice is, yes, it's a lie, but it's okay. And the fourth choice is, I don't know. So you ought to be able to vote with one of those, right? I'm going to read you a story. You're going to tell me the answer. Here we go. Story number one. Dad plays with his three-year-old daughter as they look at a picture book of different animals. Joy has just figured out how to get a fun reaction from Dad, and he, enjoying the interaction with his daughter, plays up the game. What's that? Dad says as he points to the chicken. It's a cow, says Joy. No, it's a chicken, says Dad playfully as they both laugh together. Dad continues by pointing to a rabbit. What's this? It's a cow, says Joy, waiting eagerly for Dad's playfully shocked response. No, it's a rabbit, says Dad, as they continue to have fun together. Is Joy lying? How many would say, yes, she's lying? How many say, no, she's not lying? How many say, yes, she's lying, but it's okay? How many say, I don't know? Some of you didn't vote. All right, let's go on here. Let me give you another example. 13-year-old Carissa answers the phone and says, hi, Pastor Andrews. Mom quietly says, tell him I'm not home. Carissa turns to her mom and whispers, that's lying. I'm not going to tell him that. Mom replies, okay, I'll go outside and then you can tell him I'm not home right now. Carissa plays along with mom's plan and tells the pastor, mom stepped out for a little while, but only after mom leaves the house. Is Carissa lying? How many would say, yes, Carissa is lying? How many would say, no, Carissa isn't lying? How many would say, yes, she's lying, but it's okay? How many say, I don't know? All right, one more story. Allison, age 9, could hardly wait to leave the boring party. As she says goodbye to the host, she says, I enjoyed your party. Thank you very much for inviting me. Is Allison lying? How many say, yes, she's lying? How many say, no, she's not lying? How many say, yes, she's lying, but it's okay? How many say, I don't know? Some of you aren't voting. Which illustrates the point, I think, because the point is that it can be difficult to deal with the truth somehow. Sometimes we don't know exactly how to respond to the honesty issues in life, let alone our children. They can struggle with this quite a bit in their lives.
I think as we start talking about lying and honesty with parents, they say, well, of course my children know what's lying and they know what's true and what's not and where the issues are. But the reality is that it's more complicated than we first think. And that just is demonstrated by the selectivity we did. Even as adults, we're confused. Well, what really is lying and what is not? What's acceptable and what's not acceptable? I think in family life, sometimes we do say things that aren't true, but they're not really considered lying. Imagine your son comes in and he says, Mom, what's for dinner? And you say, frog soup. Now you're just teasing. You're not really going to serve him frog soup, but it might be an answer you give, because in family life we do tease one another, and under the guise of teasing we say things that aren't true sometimes, but we all know we're just kidding, and that's okay. But when your son tells a lie and you challenge him on it, what does he say? I was only kidding. I was just teasing, because he's learned that that's an out. That's a reason why we can say things that aren't true. We get away with it if we call it teasing. So I think sometimes we're confusing our children by the way we use language, and we sometimes use words without really telling the truth with them.
See, teasing isn't wrong, but teasing always has a line. And when you cross that line in teasing, that's when people get hurt or tears come or people get angry. Or sometimes you cross the line and some children would justify their lying by saying that. Teasing itself isn't wrong. We just have to know where the line is. And if you're having trouble with honesty in your family, you might have to stop the teasing for a while, especially if you're playing with the truth, that kind of teasing. Now, another thing we do as we're teaching children about the truth, that's the parenting strategy we're working on here, is we need to teach our children about lying. We need to define lying. What is it? We would say that lying is using words or symbols with the intent to deceive. The intent to deceive is an important part of what it is, so that Joy, playing the game with her dad about the cow and the rabbit, she's not lying in that story because there's no intent to deceive. They're playing. They're playing with the truth, but she's not lying in the midst of that.
It's important to teach our children what's lying and what's not, so that it's very clear. And we're not just going to do teaching about the truth in a family where we have a problem with lying. We want to be teaching in all our families so children understand what we mean when we talk about the truth. Now, this is particularly helpful with young children because developmentally, preschoolers have a real problem understanding the difference between reality and fantasy. It's all confused in their brain, and that's been shown developmentally that sometimes children will imagine something happening and then they feel guilty because when it happened, it was not a good thing. And they think they caused it because they imagined it. We want to help our children understand the clear line between reality and fantasy, and we're going to do that through teaching. Sometimes we'll read a storybook to a child and we'll ask the child at the end of the story, now was that a true story or a pretend story? How did you know? Because sometimes we read stories with the animals talking and there's a lot of fantasy involved, and then we go and reread them a Bible story. Do they know the difference? Do they know what's true and what's not? When your child tells you a story, you may have to ask that same question. Now, is that the way it really happened or the way you remember it happening? Because sometimes children forget the facts and so they just fill them in. They guess, well, it could have happened that way. And then they get confused themselves about how it really happened because they start believing the story that they've been telling. So we really have to work on this with children. Ask them those kinds of questions. Is that really how it happened or how you would have liked it to happen? Just to clarify the truth and clarify the difference between reality and fantasy.
But there are some children who know that they're lying. They know that they're doing the wrong thing. And we have to help those children as well. We teach children that dishonesty always occurs under pressure. And you can say this to your children. Dishonesty always occurs under pressure. Sometimes it's the pressure to be liked by someone, so you exaggerate a story. Sometimes it's the pressure to get out of trouble, so that you lie to avoid punishment. Sometimes it's the pressure to get something that you couldn't get ordinarily, and so you steal it. Dishonesty always occurs under pressure, and so our children need to understand that. It's a very important part of communicating to them the value and the importance of integrity in their lives. I just remember working with Jim. Jim was only 10 years old, but he was already being sneaky. He was stealing some things, lying, and I was working with him now to try to help him win this area. And so I explained to him that dishonesty always occurs under pressure. It's a sign of weakness, not a sign of strength that you can sneak around and get away with something. It's a sign of weakness. That was remarkable for him. In fact, he took that and ran with it and really changed. Over a few weeks, he made some significant changes in his life. He did not want to be dishonest anymore. And I asked him, what's your secret to success? Why are you doing that? What made it happen for you? And he says, I don't want to be dirty anymore. You see the conscience working in his life? He knew what he wanted. He knew what he wanted to change. And this whole idea of pressure in life and not being able to handle that was what helped him do that.
Another way to look at this idea of dishonesty is to see it as a shortcut in life. Sometimes children are unwilling to do the hard work to get what they want. So they exaggerate a story to look better, or they steal something because they don't have the money, or they haven't earned the money, so they just take it. Or maybe they're cheating on a test because they haven't taken the time to study. So lying or being dishonest is a shortcut in life because they're not doing the hard work to get what they want. They're just taking it anyway. It's like when there's a keep off the grass sign and they want you to go around the grass, take the sidewalk the long way around. But you might be tempted to take a shortcut across the grass if you don't value the grass. And the same thing is true with a conscience. If a child doesn't value the conscience, he may take a shortcut right across it and be dishonest to get what he wants, the easy way out. These children need to learn to work harder Sometimes that's a solution for lying, is to teach children to work harder. You can earn that, and it feels much better when you get it if you've earned it. So we want to help children understand that they've got to do the hard work to get what they want rather than lying.
I think we have some work to do here to teach our children about the truth. There's some very important things they need to learn. I think some of our children misuse language or words. For example, you know, you say to your son, "Don't run," and then he walks really fast, as if he can kind of get around your words, not paying attention to the intent of your words, but just the words themselves. I like to tell those children a Bible story. It's a story in the Old Testament about Abraham and Sarah and how they came into the land of Gerar. King Abimelech was the king at that time. They came into that land, and Abraham had said to his wife, "Let's tell them that you're my sister since you're so beautiful, and they won't kill me then to get you." So they went into town, and that's what they did. And so the king took Sarah to be part of his harem. As she was preparing to be part of the harem, King Abimelech, in the middle of the night, was awakened by God. And God said to him, "Abimelech, why have you taken someone else's wife?" And Abimelech says, "I didn't know that she belonged to somebody else. I did this in good conscience." That's what he says right in the text there. "I did this with a clear conscience." And God says, "I know you did this with a clear conscience. That's why I'm telling you now, you need to get rid of her. I'm going to kill you." That's what God says. And so Abimelech sends Sarah back to her husband. But he goes to Abraham and he says, "Why did you do this to me?" Abraham's words are very interesting because he plays with words to try to get out of it. He says, "Well, she really is my sister. We have the same father, we have different mothers. In other words, I wasn't lying." You can tell a child that a child has a problem in this area of lying when they're confronted with their lie. The very next words that come out of their mouth will determine whether they have a long-term problem with lying or it's just an accident or a short-term problem that they'll be able to get over. Because if you confront them with a lie and they make up another lie to get out of that lie, then we know we have a problem, you see. Children don't have the internal integrity to do the right thing, to hang in there and do what's right, even under the pressure there. Abraham was illustrating this playing with words. We can't do that with our children. Our children can't do that with us. We don't play with the words. When we make those words, they're important. We're considering the intent of the person, not just the words that are being said.
And as with each part of the conscience, we've said there is a motivating emotion that goes along with that part of the conscience. We would suggest in this area of honesty, the motivating emotion is a desire for integrity. But if we want our children to desire integrity, we need to raise the importance of integrity in their lives. We need to talk about how valuable integrity is. We want our children to value integrity so much that they're going to do the hard work of being honest. They're going to be able to stand up under the pressure because they value integrity. And so we need to be teaching our children why integrity is so important and what they can get if they do the hard work to maintain their personal integrity.
So the parenting strategy here is to raise the importance of integrity for our children. That's what we want to do. We want to help them see how valuable it is. Now, we would say that there's an integrity package that's so important. Children who lie or who are dishonest, they don't recognize the importance of the integrity package. We want to open that package for you. We want you to understand what's inside that package so you can get an idea of what it looks like.
One piece of the integrity package is to understand the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt is a gift that we give people freely. We believe them when we don't have any reason not to. You meet a stranger on the street. He tells you a story, sounds a little fishy, but you believe him. You have no reason not to. You give him the benefit of the doubt. Certainly, as we're working with our children, we want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes we're not quite sure if they did it or they didn't do it, but we give them the benefit of the doubt. Unless a child has been dishonest. Because once a child has been dishonest, then they lose the benefit of the doubt. Now, we don't want to just talk about that with children who are dishonest, though. We want to help children understand the value of integrity. And that means we want them to understand the value of the benefit of the doubt. It's a gift we want to give you, and that's why you're going to hold on to that personal integrity so that you maintain that gift, the benefit of the doubt. It's valuable, and you want to hold that with high esteem in your life. You want the benefit of the doubt.
That's one of the privileges of the integrity package. Another benefit of the integrity package that we so desire and treasure is trustworthiness. Are you trustworthy? You just want to be trustworthy because there's so many good things that come along with being trustworthy. It's nice for a parent to say, hey, I'm going over to the neighbor's house. You finish your homework. I'll leave you here to work on that while I go over to the parent's house. In other words, I'm going to consider you trustworthy enough to do that while I'm gone. If you're not trustworthy, if you've been dishonest, then the parent's going to say, I'm going over to the neighbor's house. You need to come with me. We're going. Trustworthiness is a very important part of this integrity package.
Another part of the integrity package is privacy. We want to teach children that privacy is a privilege. It's something that you earn by being honest, by being trustworthy. Some children, and even parents, would say that privacy is a right, but the reality is that it's a privilege. And if you're not honest, you're not trustworthy, you lose the privilege of privacy. So again, we want to raise the value of integrity by saying this is important. If you want to have privacy, you need to be honest. You need to be honest and open so that you can have the privilege of privacy.
Another piece of this integrity package is just the freedom that we have on the inside. We just enjoy the fact that we don't have to be hiding anything or wonder if someone's going to figure us out. If someone's going to discover what we've done wrong or how we've lied, they're going to figure out the truth. There's this freedom we have on the inside. That's all part of this integrity package. I was working with a little girl, 6 years old. She had a problem with lying. Mom would press her and say, you need to say that you lied. You need to go sit down and come back and tell me that you lied. And she continued to press her, and it would take 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour. Finally, the little girl would come back and say, I lied. I spent some time with this little girl just talking to her about what she's thinking about during the 15 minutes or 30 minutes. What are you saying to yourself? What are you talking to yourself about during that time? And then I asked her, when you get all done and you say, okay, I lied, then what does that feel like? And she said this. She says, I feel like I'm done. That's a conscience statement, you see. There's this freedom on the inside that comes with the integrity package. Now, children who are dishonest don't value the integrity package. Some of them don't even know about it. Our job as parents is to raise the importance of the integrity package for children so that they grab hold of this. They see how valuable it is. You want the integrity package. I'll just tell you, we all want it. It is not easy to keep if you've lied, you've been dishonest, you lose so much. You lose. It's only for those who are being honest. It's only for those who have this integrity on the inside. It goes along with that. The integrity package is valuable. We're teaching that to our children.
And so we want to teach our children, whether they're being dishonest or not, we want to help them understand how valuable this is. It's worth the hard work of being honest because the integrity package is so valuable to maintain. Let's take a moment to evaluate this whole area of being tempted to be dishonest. Consider this question for a few minutes. When you are faced with a temptation to be dishonest, what's your motivation to do the right thing?